stand as you are able for our gospel reading. The reading today is Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time, the boat battered by the waves was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, into the hearts of your faithful. Open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, that we might hear with joy what you are saying to us today. God, I pray for your church, that old ship of Zion, your body, the body of Christ in all places this day. I pray especially for the churches of the Baltimore-Washington Conference and the United Methodist Church as we prepare for our annual gathering that will even be in this place where I'm standing now, God, and be live streamed to every corner. I pray that you would sanctify this place with a double portion of your Spirit, that your will would be done, that we would be a church with a capital C that makes you proud of the risks that we're willing to take, of the holy boldness to which you call us to live and to serve. Keep us humble, O God, and make us brave for you. God, on this day, I pray especially for those pastors that will be commissioned or ordained. I pray for John Bondas, who'll be ordained in the Susquehanna Conference of the United Methodist Church. And I give you thanks that John and Stephanie have had a baby girl. And I know that Brad and Debbie, their hearts are full of gratitude for all you've done in their lives. And I pray for our own Pastor Herock, as he will be ordained too. Lord, wherever your church gathers, there is love, hope, joy, and peace, and a chance for transformation. Let it be so, O God. Not because we are great, but because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue our worship series called Mission Accepted, we've covered a lot of ground. Next week is the last week, so if you didn't like it, hang on, it's almost over. We've covered a lot of ground, though. We began with the notion that everything that we have really belongs to God and comes to us as a gift. And since that's true, the response called forth from us is like the leper who turned back having received his healing. The response called forth from us is gratitude. And out of that gratitude, generosity toward others. Together, we have been praying the prayer of prayerful willingness. God, how do you want to use me and that which you have given me? Last week, we learned about the divine multiplication that happens when each of us is willing to put our gifts, however insignificant they may appear to us, in the hands of Jesus. Think he can't do much with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Think again. Now, as we prepare for Pentecost, Confirmation, and Commitment Sunday next week, I want to talk about the boldness of faith. And if I'm being honest, there's a part of me that would much rather talk about not the boldness of faith, because some days I don't feel very bold. Really, what I'd like to be able to talk to you about is the comfort of faith. Faith as embroidered throw pillow. You know what I mean? That kind of faith. I don't want to talk to you about a bold faith. The faith that the choir sang about. The faith that has brought us to this point. I don't want to talk to you about the faith of our Father's holy faith. Or the faith that looks up to thee, O Lamb of Calvary. Because that's scary faith. I would prefer it if Jesus would call us to a faith that asks nothing of me. A faith, you know, that I could sort of have, and everyone would always like me and agree with me. There's a bluegrass song called, "If You Can't Walk on Water, You Better Get in the Boat." And that's definitely me. I'm definitely staying in the boat. I don't know what Peter was thinking. In fact, it says here that Jesus made them get in the boat. Getting in the boat wasn't even their idea. That's me too. I would say if I were there and my infinite preference would be, Jesus, you all go in the boat. I'm going to stay right here on solid ground. Never mind getting out of the boat. I never would have even gotten in the boat. I want a faith that will allow me to hit the snooze bar. I don't want a bold faith. That's scary. I want a timid faith. A comfy faith. Sometimes when the Sayers go places as a family, they're excited about adventures we're going to have. So we're driving there and like, Nathan and Lydia are describing all the roller coasters we're going to ride. Or the big long hike we're going to go on. And all these scary adventures we're going to have. And my line is, that's great. If you're looking for me, I'll be in the car. And then we laugh. It's mostly a joke, but sometimes it's not. There are many days that I don't want Jesus to call me to be bold. I would rather be rested than bold. I certainly want to be liked. Sometimes I fantasize about a calling from God that would require me to just deal with objects, like a museum curator, because artifacts can't get cancer. Artifacts don't have funerals. I want some satisfying thing where my job is to sort things into groups, because that's super satisfying. File papers all day. Some days I think my dream job would be to reshelve library books. It's not done. You sort of do it, and it's done. Also, books are awesome. Some days I really want an inside-the-boat faith. I want an inside-the-boat job. I want an inside-the-boat life. The problem with my plan, though, is I'm called to be a follower of Jesus, the Christ. And he has a completely different idea of what discipleship is. Where Carrie read to us is Matthew 14, verse 22. You know what comes right before it in Matthew? Matthew's account of the feeding of the multitudes. Remember how I told you it's all in all 4 Gospels? One way people recognize Jesus is when they're up against it. and it looks like there isn't enough. And then faithful people give their gifts. And there it is. They give them to Jesus, and there it is. Take, bless, break, give. And there is enough and more than enough. And right after this, we have the story of the storm on the sea. I have no idea why my phone is ringing. Okay. Right after this, we have the story of the storm on the sea. And there's a story like this in many of the Gospels too. The young church recognized stormy seas in life and in ministry was what happens when you follow Jesus. A boat with some disciples in it on a stormy sea is like a church facing troubles and persecution and HVAC difficulties and retirements. All of the Gospels have Jesus interacting with a stormy sea while scared disciples hang on for dear life. The details are a little different in each of them. Jesus is walking on the water in some. Jesus is in the boat asleep in others. And here in Matthew, Peter participates in a big way. As with the feeding of the multitudes, we see that the gospel communities had all experienced this as a truth of how you know it's Jesus. If he calls you to do something you're scared to do. How you know what church is like. If you have troubles and are facing uncertainty. If the waves seem kind of high and the work seems never ending. But you're not alone in the boat. That's discipleship. That's church. That's our Jesus. Peter takes things one further though. For Peter, Jesus would do more than just say, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter says, "If it's really you, Jesus, if that's your real name, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus' response is not, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus' response is not, "Hey, Peter, if you can't walk on water, you better stay in the boat." He says, "Come. Come to me. Because that's our Jesus calling us out of our comfort zones, calling us to bring our gifts to him, not making bread and fish out of thin air, but using what we have been given, using our small faithfulness to do big things, calling us to leave the comfortable place where we are, calling us forth to do the next thing that looks impossible, maybe going to college. And we do these things not because we want to, but because we are disciples of Jesus, because we're following him. We're called to do more than just believe in Jesus. We're called to take up our cross and follow him too. The hymn says, "Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me." Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, "Christian, love me more." In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, saying, "Love me more than these." That's how you know it's Jesus. When you look at your idols and the things that you're just tempted to value, and you hear a voice saying, "Love me more than that. Love me more than all the things that get in the way." That's how you know it's Jesus. If it's Jesus, so often he is extravagantly, almost recklessly, calling us to do some hard thing. You know, put your toe in the water. Apply for the job. Go to the march. Fill out the commitment card. Even when you would swear that you're not really the sort of person that does these kind of things. Even when the inside of the boat is warm and dry. Here's an exercise in faith. Next time you watch the news, as you scroll on past, pray the prayer of prayerful willingness. God, how do you want to use me in that which you have given? If we take seriously what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, it's going to take us to places that apart from Jesus, we would not want to go. It's going to mean that we have to pray for people that are easy to pray for, innocent victims, and people that it's so hard to pray for, people who commit sin. That's our Jesus. And right when you get comfortable, this is another thing about Jesus. When you don't want to get in the boat and you're scared of the boat, Jesus helps you into the boat. Right when you get comfortable, he kicks up a storm. Right when you get used to that and you get take your Dramamine and you got your water wings on and you're starting to feel pretty good about church and life and your faith and everything's good and you got choir on Thursday, everything's all manageable, your life is manageable, your schedule's manageable, bam! Come to me on the water. That's how he works. Just when something, you're comfortable, Jesus says, come on in now, the water's fine. Calling us over the tumult to do more than what's comfortable. So maybe like once we get comfortable praying, we hear the voice of Christ calling us to act. Maybe do something like wear orange on Pentecost in honor of people who have survived gun violence and people who have perished. Wearing orange. And if that's comfortable, hear the voice of our Lord saying, now listen to what I want you to do next. I don't know what that thing is, but I do know our Savior who always calls us to take more risks for the gospel. Maybe the next thing would be learn about gun safety. Look into our laws and how we can make those better to make our people safer. Maybe it's a call to work with our kids and our youth so that they have another person in their lives that loves them without condition. Another person to say, I'm in your corner. That's how our Jesus works. He calls and he calls and he calls. And each step looks scary. But as we take each step, our faith grows and we get stronger in our faith. Faith is a muscle that you have to exercise. When I came to Glenmar, I'd been away from you for quite a while. And I looked around at all the faithful people that were here. And this is like pre-pandemic and pre a bunch of stuff that you and I have gone through together just in the past couple of years. And you know, Eric met our staff and some of our current leaders, took a look around, and Eric said, well, you're going to have a hard time here. I said, beg your pardon? He said, yeah, you're going to be called to do some things that are really uncomfortable for you to do. And I was like, thanks so much for that marital support. Glenmar's the best church ever. What in the world is wrong with you? And he said, no. Look what God is giving you. Look what you've been given. To whom much is given, much will be required. God has poured out all the blessings on this great church. You're going to have everything you need, but you're get ready. You got everything. You got a boat that is built for some storms. Get ready. Sometimes it is tempting. I'm not saying you do this. Other people. Sometimes it's tempting to treat the church like it is a cruise ship. Not an old ship of Zion, not a little boat, you know, out there on the waves, but a cruise ship, you know, selecting one that meets our needs. And there's a lot of cruise ships out there. Like, it's unbelievable. Not too big, not too small. A quality kids program, you know, some kids, but not too many kids are like dances at night, but you know, like a quality kids program, interesting ports of call, excellent customer service. Sometimes it's tempting to think of the church like that, like a cruise ship. But it seems to me that the ship that we're about is discipleship, which involves asking not how can the church meet my needs, but how can I serve the church? How can I go deeper in my faith? How can I learn to love God more and put that into action? How can I learn to love my neighbor more and put that into action? How can I serve my neighbor more? What holy risks is God calling me to take? These steps of faith out on the water, other people can't take them for you. We can encourage one another. We can help one another get up to the edge. You know, like when you taught your child to swim. You know what I mean? You can encourage them. You can give them like the Spider-Man water wings. You can give them a treat after. But you can't make them jump off. You can't jump for them. We can remind one another of our God who calms storms and who will never leave us alone, in the boat or on the water. We can cheer for one another. We can give reports from the field. Hey, I jumped in. It's a little chilly, but like I'm good. And when we work together, that's when great things happen. A huge picnic to be had, room at the table for everyone. Our mission statement, which I love, is praising God, growing disciples, and serving the world. I love that mission statement. I think that sometimes this Howard County, US of A overachiever mentality dovetails with our mission statement in ways that might not serve us the best. Serve the world. Yeah, your neighbor, whatever, but serve the world. Bigger is always better. Grow disciples. Grow a billion of them, 2 billion if you can. And that's also biblical because the Great Commission is go make disciples of all nations. But Jesus didn't say love the world. He said love your neighbor. The catch when it comes to growing disciples is if we make, it's almost like I am the grower of disciples and you all are disciples. But you can't grow a disciple unless you are a disciple. You can't grow disciples if you're not growing as a disciple yourself. It's not growing disciples like I'm a farmer and you all are tomatoes. We're all tomatoes. We got to encourage each other. And if we're not healthy and growing as disciples ourselves, then we can't grow other disciples. We'll be burned out and impatient and stagnant and argue with each other. And if we're not willing to step out of the boat, out of the comfort of our pillowy faith, and into the faith that has brought us this far and will lead us home, if we can't do that, then we can't help other people get out of the boat either. I was reminded this week of Bishop Felton May, whose wife Phyllis, I'm proud to call a sister in Christ and a fellow Glenmar member. Bishop May was an advocate of something he called holy boldness. He said it was a life rooted in prayer, a study of scriptures, and faith that is put to work in the community. He used holy boldness to transform D.C. communities and Baltimore communities and to form partnerships with elected officials and local businesses and people of faith willing to improve housing and childcare and community conditions. Who in the world would give Bishop May an idea like that? Well, I know who. The one who said, "It is I, do not be afraid. Come to me on the water." Just this past week, we celebrated a similar revitalization happening in Sandtown and at Ames. And Glenmar has been a partner in that. Holy boldness. What would make Glenmar be a part of something like that? Who in the world would give us an idea like that? I bet you know who. Who would it be who has made disciples like the greatest among us who have gone to be with the Lord? Who made disciples like Betsy and Hobie and Paul and Hema? People, you know, who are willing to put their faith to work, who would be the first ones to jump in and help, who would be the first ones to keep their eyes on Jesus and take a holy risk and bring people with them, encouraging, supporting. Who makes disciples like that? I bet you know who. The one who said, take up your cross and follow me. We are the people who follow Jesus. And sometimes if you're intimidated with the idea of following Jesus, we follow the people who follow Jesus. Fellow disciples who encourage us and who watch to see how we'll live out our call to come to Christ on the waters of our day, our life, our church. Martin Luther King said, faith is taking the next step when you can't see the whole staircase. And right now, I think God is calling us to take the next faithful step. Calling you, calling me. In holy boldness, in prayer, in scriptural study, in financial giving, in service, in social justice. In holy boldness, we will make a difference in the world with its tall waves and stormy seas. When we have the boldness of faith, we will discover that when we meet Jesus out on the sea, Jesus will not leave us. Peter, even when his faith faltered, felt Jesus' hand on his shirt, felt his salvation, was drawn back into the boat. In following Jesus, in keeping our eyes on him, we will know his salvation, provision. Some days, we may not want to. But Jesus calls us, or the tumult, Christian, follow me. That's our faith. It's bold. Friends, it's water resistant. Maybe it's time to laminate up our Bibles and laminate those commitment cards that you're getting in the mail. Because, church, it's time to get out of the boat. Amen.